Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, August the 30th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 43, the second paragraph. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree. We'll be reading through that one paragraph and commenting on that. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Tenzin P, 12 Traditions, Anita L, and readers of the text, Janet B, Anne-Marie M, and Katie G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, August the 29th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 21699, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21700. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought to through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Anita L. will be reading the 12 traditions. Welcome, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Lynn. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. This is Anita L. from Philadelphia, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 43, the second paragraph, Many Doctors and Psychiatrists Agree. And Janet B. is going to start us off this morning. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusions. One of these men, staff member of a world-renowned hospital, recently made this statement to some of us. What you say about the general hopelessness of the average alcoholic's plight is, in my opinion, correct. As to two of you men, whose stories I have heard, there is no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. Had you offered yourself as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you if I'd been able to avoid it. People like you are too heartbreaking. Though not a religious person, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution. So good morning, everyone. As I said, I'm Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So boy, this chapter, we've met a bunch of characters, right? We've met the jaywalker. We've met the man of 30. We've met Jim. We've met Fred. All of them hopeless. All of them needing a rescuer. And then here, finally, at the second to the last paragraph of this chapter, we see him. Divine help. They were. I was 100% hopeless. I could not stop binging. I was stealing food. I was stealing money for food. I would eat my roommate's food, go out and buy a replacement, eat the replacement before I could get it back, walk the streets of New York City at 2 a.m. with my rent money because I had to find food. Didn't care if I couldn't pay my rent, didn't care about my own safety. I was a wretch and I could not save myself. I was hopeless. And here they tell us what we're going to start learning in the next chapters, what, or really who, is our only help? Divine help. That means God. That means my only hope was a miracle for God to launch and search a search and rescue mission for me. Okay, so what do I do if I know that? If I know I'm hopeless, which I was, and I needed divine help, a miracle from God, which I did, what do I do? And thank God this program tells me exactly what I need to do. And it's all in a nutshell. I need to surrender, not just a general surrender to the universe, but surrender to the care of a loving God. And what does that mean? All it means simply is that I spend time with him every day and I try to do the things he would want me to do and not do things he doesn't want me to do, which means I don't lie anymore. I don't steal. It means I try and be kind to people. I clean up the wreckage of the past. And when I do that, that allows the grace of God to enter and make me not hopeless, but a person who's not only filled with hope, but who's filled with like a happy, joyous, and free life that's free of the food obsession. I was truly 100% hopeless without God. And if he saved a wretch like me, he can save anyone. And this book, this beautiful book, just gives us the recipe for a miracle. And I'm just forever grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina, for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Troy C.
Jen A.
Liz E. UK.
Chris
Liz
M.
E. UK.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, please. I heard Troy C., Jen A., and Liz E., and I missed somebody in there.
Pete B.
Chris M.
Okay. I've got Troy C., Jen A., Liz E., Pete B., and Chris M. Let's start with that lineup. So Troy, we'll start with you, followed by Jen A., and please tell us where you're calling from so we can find you on the members list. Good morning, Troy.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, moderator. This is Troy C. I'm calling from Florida, Eastern Time. What a fantastic lead. Thank you for your service. And I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Not sure if I said that part yet. And I'm absolutely of the hopeless variety. And it's really wild. So I really like to say every time that I share in one way or another that I've had the experience of being really familiar with this book and the description of alcoholism and of being totally convinced to the description of that disease when it was applied to a different disorder. And while I was aware of it, and while I was aware of what it felt like to be alcoholic and identify when I wasn't thinking rationally and when I was trying to control and enjoy something, I still observed my food behavior for over a decade, and I didn't think myself hopeless. I didn't think myself hopeless when I would lose 50 pounds and get all the shine and the compliments and it being easier to move around and my doctor being happy with me and convince myself that it was okay to have a couple slices of Costco pizza despite knowing what would happen. And there was like, you know, kind of an inception moment where like I knew that I knew and then I knew that I knew that I knew And that's what it took for me to truly be convinced that I was totally hopeless. And only then was I ready to ask my higher power for help and surrender in this program. I shared earlier this week, I don't know why my credits differ. I felt like I had a powerful and meaningful spiritual experience with a different issue. I don't know why working those same steps with food in mind, why that same surrender, you know, has affected me in this way, but it's truly incredible that for almost 6 months now, I've had a peace and serenity around food that no matter what diet I chose, no matter how motivated I was, I would make all kinds of really sincere commitments to never go and get another Publix sub. And days or weeks, or sometimes months later, you know, I have brief periods of sobriety. They were always followed by a still worse relapse. And so I'm very grateful to this program. And for this meeting in particular has given me a really deep insight into the book. And I'm loving going through this literature with you guys. Thanks, Pass.
Thank you, Troy C. from Florida. Next up, we have Jen A., followed by Liz E. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Lynn. Good morning, TGIF. Great to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous with you. My name is Jen A. I live in Colorado. I'm recovered by God's grace and mercy today. I was the girl who was mangled. You know, I couldn't solve my problems. I was a hot frickin' mess. You know, my sponsor took me to a page and he said, are you having trouble with personal relationships? You know, he started asking all these questions. He said, can you control your emotional natures? And I started to think about it. Nope. You know, was I prey to misery? And was I depressed? I was so depressed, I wanted to pack my bags and leave my kids with their dad because I didn't think I was even capable of being a good mom, of a good person in the food. I couldn't make a living. I had a feeling of uselessness. I was full of fear, just riddled with fear all the time, 24/7. Couldn't sleep at night, you know, wide awake in the morning, fear throughout the day. And I was truly just unhappy, and I was never helpful to people at all. That's page 52. Those are the 9 questions of unmanageability in my life when I came into Overeaters Anonymous that probably were like, I don't know, 15 on a scale of 1 to 12. You know, today I still have unmanageability. You know, but that was the way in which I saw my life was being 100% hopeless. 100% hopeless. That's like in red in the middle of my book today. Today I'm not 100% hopeless. I'm 100% hopeful. Why? Because I've taken the hand of the divine help. I took the hand of a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and that person guided me through the steps, through the traditions, through the concepts. And I live my life to the best of my ability based on all of those principles. You know, there's no magic in this room. You can't wave a wand and bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. I don't have a fairy godmother. You know, that's not my sponsor. It's a miracle. It's a miracle in which arena? The spiritual arena for me. I don't know. There's no other solution for a girl like me. I can't outthink it. I can't outrun it. I can't outsmart it. I have to surrender to the spiritual transformation. And I love what that was talked about by the lead speaker this morning, right? Like, I have to surrender. But what do I have to surrender first to? The food. And even though 7 years later, my abstinence is not the number one thing I'm thinking about on a daily basis, it's not. I'll be honest. I know my food. I know what I can eat, what I can't. That's easy. But my connection to God is where I have to work. It's where I have to stay connected. I can plug that outlet in the wall in the morning and charge up, but I walk out the door and trip over it and pull it out. That's my connection to God. I've lost source to power. I need this power in my life on a daily basis. Saving my bacon. It's so totally awesome. There's virtually no other solution. For a girl like me who's a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, exercise bulimic, and has tried to kill myself with pills, potions, and everything else under the book, I'm glad the doctor's saying, hey, you need a spiritual solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks, Jen A. from Colorado. Lizzie from the UK, you're up, followed by Pete B. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning and good afternoon to some. My name is Liz Eve Elegant from Bristol in Southwest England. Thank you to everybody doing service here today. Wow, this is amazing, isn't it? Many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusions. And I would say that many doctors and psychiatrists agree today with the conclusions in this book. There has not really, in my experience, been an awful lot of progress for doctors and psychiatrists with people like us. And like others have said, the hopelessness, for me, coming into the rooms and really understanding what my problem is this hopelessness. And the solution I used for my hopelessness was the food. And this book just talks about that and explains that. And I agree, in my opinion, is correct. It is 100% that. And the thing for me, I don't need to understand why I've got this hopelessness, or because of what, or because of anything. It just is. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I am a compulsive overeater. And that is just it. And then for most cases there is virtually no other solution. Well, in my experience, strength and hope, that is a truth. And you know, today I'm 62 and I've been in the rooms for over 10 years, and before that, you know, the first 50 years of my life, I tried everything. You know, I had bookcases of books. I had been, you know, I'd done everything, alternative therapy, every diet known to man. I'd, you know, ended up in hospital because of these things. But today I know that my hopelessness needs the treatment of the 12 steps and the spiritual solution. And the single most important thing is my connection to God and higher power. And if you haven't shared in forever, or not for a while, just do star one. I didn't know what I was going to say. You can't just go open your mouth. Do that. So just want to encourage anybody to do that. Thanks a million. I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz E. from the UK. Pete B., it's your turn, followed by Chris M. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for taking the meeting. It's always great to hear you in service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I'm in Pennsylvania. You know, I really think it's important that I remember, I don't know about anybody else, but I have to remember what makes me a compulsive overeater. I have to remember what it is that makes me a distinct entity. You know, some of us didn't have the same experiences as other people. And, you know, a lot of the experiences, the demoralizations, the stories, the things that happen to us as a result of pursuing the phenomenon of craving, a lot of those things didn't happen for all of us, right? The thing that makes me a compulsive overeater is that I have an abnormal reaction to certain foods, ingredients, and behaviors that, once ingested, they cause the phenomenon of craving. That's what distinguishes me from other people. Once the phenomenon of craving kicks in, it takes us to all different kinds of places. Some really, really far down the scale, some maybe not so far, right? But I have to remember, that's what makes me a compulsive overeater. That's the whole part of my condition. Never gets better, only gets worse. I can't identify the day that I crossed over from being a hard or moderate eater to the day that I became of the hopeless variety. I can't identify that day. You know, it just happened, and trying to figure it out why, and trying to figure out who, what, and where, not gonna help me. The only thing I have to understand, and what this chapter tells me, is that I have a mental condition, and that mental condition, if left untreated, is only going to get worse, never better. And the only treatment is spiritual in nature, not psychological in nature, and that has to be remembered. You know, and just like I couldn't identify the day that I crossed over. There's a lot of times, you know, I've never heard anybody get on a meeting and say, you know, today's the day I'm going to make the decision that's going to derail the whole rest of my life. Today's the day I'm going to make the decision that's going to, you know, upset my recovery, and I'm never, ever going to be able to come back from it. You know, because we have a mental blank spot. We're unable to see the facts. Like, these things are subtle in nature, but once they occur, it has the potential to derail everything. there's parts of me that are happening and impacts I'm having on other people that I don't know I'm happening. Lots of instances, I think I'm the solution, turns out, or part of the solution, turns out I'm part of the problem, right? Because I can't distinguish the true from the false. Regardless of my spiritual condition, even with the best intentions, this is the diet that's going to fix it. This is the resource that's going to help me. This is the program that's going to be the one that's going to fix it. Right? No human power. I have to recognize that there are things, people, and events in my life that are here for a reason.
Time,
I can't go making. I'm going to just shut up with this. I appreciate it. I have to remember that I am responsible for my decisions, my thoughts, and my actions. And I don't want to make the fatal decision to pick up a substance that I know will cause the phenomenal craving. And if I don't pick up that substance, I can't get the phenomenal craving. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. And now we have Chris M. Chris, can you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Yes, good morning. Thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Chris M., as in Mary. I'm from New York, recovering, I want to say gratefully, one day at a time. Even though I tried to find myself out of this program for almost four decades, 38 years, recently I have come to believe that I am hopeless, because despite my best efforts, applying my willpower, my knowledge, by educating myself on nutrition, on eating disorders, on tactics for dieting and managing my food and weight, working with mental health professionals, being in OA for almost four decades, I could not, and I know today, without divine intervention, overcome my dilemma. And divine intervention, what does that look like? You know, of course, way back when, I had an inkling, even when I came into the program, that I was in trouble, that I was not effective in handling this issue with food that I had. So I wanted divine intervention, but, you know, I didn't know what that looked like. I mean, I was raised in a religious home. I always felt a deep connection to God. People always said, oh, you're so deep. Like, I always felt very connected, although I didn't quite understand what that was all about. Like, how was that going to work in my life? It was there, but I didn't know how to apply any of it. So now what I've come to believe for today is that it's about understanding my limitations, and God's power, and then truly surrendering myself to God's direction, obeying, and that was a big word for me. I don't like to obey. I don't like to be put under someone else's rule, but I understand today it, obeying what the program teaches me, because now I really believe, and I have always believed, but I truly understand and believe that this program is divinely inspired. That's my opinion. And the way of life is just, it was given to me in this wonderful, magical, kind of mystical way. Doing my fourth step, identifying my character defects, and then understanding what the opposite of those things were, which are the principles of recovery, and then learning to ask God to help me live that way. I know the way I always wanted to live.
Time,
thank you. And it wasn't the way I was living, but today I know that the first step is abstinence, and then from there, living the 12 steps, which is all about finding the spiritual solution, is the way to live in recovery one day at a time. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thank you, Chris M. from New York. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we are continuing our study in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. We are on page 43, the second paragraph, many doctors and psychiatrists. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. So who would like to share?
Christina
from North Carolina.
Anne Marie M.
Okay, can we just stop for a second, please? Because out of everybody, I heard Anne Marie M. So who already said their name, please, so I can get you down?
Jen B.
Christina
R. Ilana P.
Okay, let me tell you again who I heard. I think I heard... There was somebody B. I don't know who that was. Christina J. Jen B. Thank you. And Crystal R. So who did I miss, please?
Ilana P.
Okay. Anyone else? All righty. Let me tell you who I did hear then. I heard Anne Marie M., Jen B, Christina J, Crystal R, and Ilana P. And if you can please tell us where you're calling from, that would be great. So Anne-Marie M, it's your turn, followed by Jen B. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Yes, great. Thank you, Lynn, so much for taking the meeting for us. This is Anne-Marie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and mercy, and by working the steps found in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I am in South Carolina, and by working the 12 steps in the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have come to have a wonderful, loving, close relationship with the God of my understanding, and so grateful for that. And I really like the emphasis I've been hearing so far about that the past tense. So many, and I'll speak for myself, I was hopeless. I was hopeless when I was trying to do things on my own. You know, the various diets, the pay and ways, the hypnosis, the therapist. You know, I wanted to find out why I was this way. Why me and why not my brothers? So none of that worked. And what really did work was my relationship with God has become very close. I am just in awe of what this program has done for me. This disease is so insidious. And I was talking with someone yesterday about how just the idea of thinking that I could have, well, maybe I could have, and this hasn't happened in a long, long time, but it did when I was in and out of the food, when I didn't have a relationship with God, let me say. Well, I could probably have just one Diet Pepsi, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And before you know it, I was drinking more and more, and before you know it, I was in the real sugar, you know, the fake sugar gave me the same sensation as the real sugar. Anything sweet in my mouth, for that matter, talks to my brain, I think, and says, you know, eat more, eat more. And a normal eater, I was also talking about this too, like a normal eater will crave, you know, maybe a piece of chocolate. And they'll eat the chocolate, and the craving goes away. Well, for me, it's not so much a craving. It's to say I want something, maybe a piece of chocolate, and I eat it. And what happens to me is I want more. The craving does not go away. I'm not satisfied. And I need to be on God. And the way that I'm on God is to be connected to my loving higher power throughout the day, not just in the morning, but to ask throughout the day, what is
time,
the next
please.
Thing to do? And thank you. I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. Next, we have Jen B., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Jen, and where are you calling from, please? Press star 1 to unmute, Jen.
Sorry about that. My name is Jen B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here's a doctor saying that, you know, a doctor can't help you. A psychiatrist can't help you. There's no physical or medical solution. He doesn't want to deal with patients like us. We are 100% hopeless. And that's what it takes to be where we are today in these rooms. If I had any hope in myself, the medical community, any diet, any other program, I wouldn't be here looking into the spiritual solution. And you know what? Hanging out in these rooms of OA and going to meetings, that's not the solution either. You don't get the solution until you put the food down and work the steps, and then the miracle will happen. I've tried everything else. For me, there is nothing out there, nothing, nothing, nothing. You know, this program has brought me from hopelessness to being hopeful, hopeful that the spiritual solution works. Not only has my relationship with God helped me with my compulsive overeating and remove the obsession, but the relationship has helped me with all areas of my life. One in particular that's striking me today is dealing with my mother. She's lives with me. She's lost her physical and financial independence through just life. And I really got to the point I couldn't stand interacting with her every day. And I used to blame her for every single binge. You know, if only we could figure out how to find somewhere else for mom to live on her own, then I wouldn't binge. And we all know damn well that I'd still be binging. And I now have empathy for her, and I don't eat no matter what comes out of her mouth. That's a miracle. I don't overreact. I don't react. I don't eat over it. But the miracle is I instinctively see her side of the story, and I see why she might be angry or bitter. And now I actually have empathy for her, and I don't take it personally. I'm learning to be there for her when she's being, quote-unquote, difficult, instead of taking it personally and being resentful towards her. We're talking, my mother's been with me for 7 years. That's a miracle. And that's what the spiritual solution can do. It's not just about the food. And I'm so glad there was no other way, that every other way didn't work, and that I was hopeless and I came here. Because if something else worked, then I wouldn't have sought the spiritual solution and found this beautiful way of life. When somebody says that they are grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, that's what they mean. Thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you, Jen B. Christina J., it's your turn, followed by Crystal R. And Christina, where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Lynn. Thank you for your service. I'm from North Carolina, and I don't think I need to share after all those. Those are beautiful. And I'll just piggyback on it all, I guess. Apart from divine help, what do I tell my friends in program that are still struggling that I was told over and over? Get on my knees. Just say, help me. Seek God or seek a higher power or seek something to connect you to love. You don't have to call it God. To whatever. To that hope. Because there is hope in that. I've been looking at my life lately, my past, and it's becoming clear to me. And I never really saw this before this particular run of abstinence. God is showing me deeper things about my past that I can look at, grieve, be horrified at, and then let go and turn those into gold for other people. One of the things I'm looking at is my extreme self-centeredness, as the book talks about. Self-will run riot, my fear driving it all, driving me to do things that I thought I was being nice to other people, but I wanted what I wanted, and I wanted it for me because I needed your love and validation. All my hope was in that. I had God on the sidelines, and I had food in the forefront, because at that point, chocolate was my God, and the God I have today is not chocolate. Chocolate gives me an immediate high and an immediate crash to hell. God gives me a slow, gentle rise up into heaven, you know, the heaven in my soul, the heaven in feeling good, the heaven in connecting with someone, to that steady, everyday walk. You know, I don't have to go to extremes anymore for love, validation, and all that. But I lived in hopelessness all my life. The whole thing was hopeless because nothing out there, as the previous chair said, was going to do it for me. Nothing. Not being skinny, not being beautiful. You know, skinny is overrated, let me tell you right now. It might not seem to some of you right now, but it is, because it doesn't give you what you really need. Connection to something bigger than yourself. Now, how do you get it? You start taking these steps. You start making calls. You don't sit there with the disease jumping up and down in your head. Oh, should I have the bite? Should I not have the bite? Should I have the bite? Should I not have the bite? I'm going to white knuckle it. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to have the bite. 2 hours later, I'm in the bite. I'm in the bags and boxes, and I'm on my way to hell again. So the hope is in this program, in this walk, towards something within yourself that you connect to, not out there. You've got it in you, in your heart, beautiful place of love and connection. But you got to walk to it. Come home to it, because it's always there waiting for you. You know, no doctor could ever do it for me. No love affair with anything. Nothing, nothing. You know, so many people feel dry, program's too hard, putting the foods down. You got to keep going. I don't have to tell you to do anything. Let the food beat you to a pulp and then crawl.
Time, please.
Crawl to that thing by reaching out, making a call, and saying, I want it. Please help me. Please show me how to do it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next up, Crystal R., followed by Alana P. Hi, Crystal.
Good morning. Hi, this is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Canada. And the line that stood out to me was, if you offered yourself to me at this hospital, I'd turn you away because you're just too heartbreaking. And I felt like I was that heartbreaking story. I was 30 years old. I was 250 pounds, less than 5 feet tall. It's a lot of weight on a very short person. I had so much potential, talent, gifts that were given to me that could bring joy to other people, but they were all held ransom because I spent most of my life sitting on a couch with my hand in a crinkly bag, and I was dying slowly of this disease, and people were telling me how heartbreaking it was to watch me slowly die of this disease. And the truth is, you know, I don't blame them. Like, if I was advising God, I would have told him, like, she's a bad investment. Don't bother with Crystal. Like, she's tried so many times and she's failed. She won't do a single thing if she doesn't absolutely want to do it herself. She can't go 24 hours without binging on fast food. She never shows up or has never followed through on anything in her life. She starts lots of things. She never actually finishes any of them. You know, she doesn't know how to cook. She doesn't know how to buy groceries. Like, she's just starting from too far. And most importantly, she has actively decided that she wants to die. Like, I actually decided that I'm going to eat what I want to eat, and I will die doing it. I don't want your help. So I would have told God, like, don't waste your time. Go find someone who wants to live, who wants your help. But I'm so grateful God did not weigh and measure whether I was worth being helped. He saved me from that level of just totally a hopeless situation. And he walked with me patiently because my rescue didn't happen overnight. Like, it was a slow, patient walk through these steps, and he stayed with me the whole way. I struggled through every single one of them. And I had to learn a totally new way to live, a totally new way to think. But because of where I started from, I can now be more helpful and more compassionate to other people. And God could see that in me when I couldn't see that in myself. So if he can help me and give me a life that is completely free of food and alcoholic thinking, then I know he can help anyone. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Crystal R. from Toronto, Canada. And Ilana P., it's your turn. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. It's Ilana P. from Pittsburgh. I'm grateful to be here, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And I was also, as everyone has said, 100% hopeless. I could not stop eating. I could not stop doing things that led me into trouble, trouble with the law, trouble with relationships, trouble with jobs, trouble with finances, divine help. And my picture, my vision, my connection to my higher power has changed over the years. It was in the beginning just doing what other people said and going through the motions. And today, my higher power saves me from myself. It saves me from everything. And I say it because sometimes it's a he, sometimes it's a she. It's different. And that's okay. I don't try to analyze it anymore, which I did for a long time, and it kept me in the food. Every day I have to, as was previously said, connect to my higher power, connect to God, who will, I know, take care of me as long as I am attempting to do what I think his will is for me, do the right thing in every area of my life. And I have to keep connecting throughout the day because I forget sometimes, or my will asserts itself. You know, I'm human, and it happens, and it's going to happen. As long as I have the strength and the experience and the people around me and my inner self to tell me, go back to God, go back to your higher power. Yes, you know, there is help for you. There is hope for you. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent, so grateful to be on this meeting. And I appreciate you all. And that's what I've got today. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Ilana P. from Pittsburgh. We have time for 3 or 4 more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Jennifer G. from California.
Anyone else?
Tammy G. from Virginia.
Was that Tammy?
Yes, Tammy G.
Tammy
from Virginia.
Tammy G. from Virginia. Okay. Jennifer G. Oh, okay, perfect. So I've got Jennifer G., Tammy G., Stephanie R. Okay, Jennifer G., let's start with you from California. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer G. from California. And so this paragraph reminds me of 2 days ago, I had a doctor's appointment with my oncologist that I see once a year as a follow-up. I've done that for the last 4 years. And I was nearing the end of my visit, and he says, "You have lost a lot of weight." And I'm getting ready to go. And I stop. I said, "Yes." And he starts asking me a ton of questions, which I answer. So fun, because it's all about this journey. And so I get to tell him about the journey. I end up getting all the way to the 12th step, and it didn't take forever, but summarized how at the end of it, or toward, you know, that we get to help the next person. And he says to me, "That is so good." I mean, he's beaming, the smile on his face. And me too, I love carrying this message. I love helping the next person. And it's so amazing to me when I get these God shots, you know, and I get to do that. And then since I've been listening to this sharing this morning, I was remembering the same conversation with this man 4 years ago when he was trying to get to the root of my problem, and I was in total denial. I wasn't having it. There was just no way that he was going to get me out of what I was doing. And, you know, he was trying to save my life. But anyway, someone did the same thing for me. You know, they came and said, "I can help you," 1.5 years ago, and that was it. So I just wanted to share. I it was so amazing to me. I sometimes I feel like I live in a world where I want everybody to know. But when somebody asks, I'm like so thrilled. So that's it for me today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jennifer G. from California. Tammy G., it's your turn, followed by Stephanie R. Good morning, Tammy.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say this paragraph, you know, the whole concept of hopelessness, how it's so amazing when you get clear of the food, how I see this occurring in my life, how, like, this idea, all the things that we think cause us to be hopeless are really not, that's not the culprit. And, you know, I'm fairly early in this journey. And, you know, I right now in my life, I have, like, so many crazy things going on that are really weighty. And yet, because I'm abstinent, I just have a sense of hope and a sense of everything's going to be okay, because it's allowing me to be closer to God, and I'm just, you know, I can put it on Him and not have to worry about it myself. And so to anybody, you know, I just pray that everybody else who is at that point of hopelessness, that if you, you know, for me, taking the step, what worked for me was just making a call and asking someone to be my sponsor and trying my best every day to do what they're saying, and it's just working for me, and I'm so grateful for that. And that's it. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Tammy G. from Virginia. Stephanie R., it's your turn. And Stephanie, where are you calling from, please?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie R. from Missouri. And I just really wanted to claim my seat. And my state of hopelessness is very similar to so many others. I just came in here totally beat up, feeling that my life was not worth living, that I just had no direction. I didn't know if I should turn right or left. And I was trying to play the director and the producer and every part in my show. The beauty of this program for me has been when I wake up in the morning to be able just to say, God, today I just want you to control, to be in control of my life, to direct my thoughts, my actions, and my words. When I do that, I do have that serenity. I'm able to just step back and say, thank you, God, for this beautiful journey and for relieving me of that sense of hopelessness. I have such a sense of gratitude that when I see my friends, I'm grateful that they're there. When I see my family, I'm grateful for them being there. And when I talk to people online and in program, I'm just so very grateful that I'm no longer today hopeless. I'm guided by God, and I'm so very grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie R. from Missouri. We have time for a quick share, maybe 2 minutes. Is there anybody who'd like that time?
Lisa BT.
Hi, Lisa BT. Please go ahead. And where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Lisa BT. I'm calling from Canada, Eastern Standard Time, near Toronto. Wow, you know, it's just so amazing to me how, you know, these readings come up seemingly randomly. This one happens to be today, and yet not at all, because I just would like to share my experience at the moment around the topic of hopelessness. At the moment, my life is literally beyond my wildest dreams. It's really wonderful. I'm aware that, you know, I'm 67. I'm aware, you know, life has its ups and downs. It won't always be like this in terms of the outside factors, but it is right now. And yet, I find myself on a deeper level of hope in terms of I'm kind of hitting a place where I'm aware that I'm not letting go completely to God, and that's kind of, you know, kind of a next level on this journey, and that I wasn't expecting that. Like, I sort of thought, well, you get abstinent, you know. It does keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm just kind of in awe, but also I was kind of wondering what was up. And I realized, you know what? I think it's just an invitation to go deeper. And when I'm trying to be helpful to people, that's where I notice it. You know what? It isn't up to me, but I was aware that there was still something in there. And I just wanted to share that because it really is a remarkable journey that just keeps on getting deeper and getting more amazing to me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa BT from Canada. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to our fabulous team Friday for their service in the month of August. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today's meeting, Friday, August the 30th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 21702. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Anne-Marie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
There we go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will certainly, will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until